Donate and listen to the podcast at WRWL.org.
Right now, Joe, right now in Chicago, you have at their convention thousands of people gathered, okay, and these are some of the most wicked people on planet Earth, and it's very possible, in fact, it might even be likely, that within that convention of thousands of people, that there is not one, not even one saved person there. Unless that could be some of the people from the media covered it. But other than that, in the convention...
A caterer, somebody serving or waiting, janitor, somebody like that. But, yeah, those people I've seen up on stage, I can't believe any of them are born again.
All right, so now, remember how we used to refer to the Soviet Union as the evil empire?
Yes.
Well, they're not nearly as evil as America's become, and we're going to hear a little bit about that, so go ahead and bring that up.
Officially offering safe haven for people trying to escape the anti-human agenda of modern-day liberalism. Foreign nationals are now able to apply for temporary residence in Russia based on the rejection of their country's policies, such as the destructive neoliberal ideals, which run counter to traditional Russian spiritual and moral values. Under this new immigration option, certain requirements will be waived. Applicants will not have to prove knowledge of the Russian language, its history, or its laws. The Russian Foreign Ministry has been instructed to start issuing 3-month visas to such applicants as early as next month. In a recent interview with American journalist Charles Bausman in Moscow, it was discussed how many Russian Orthodox Christians believe an exodus to Russia is prophecy.
How did it turn out that this country, Russia, controls this enormous landmass? Yeah, but it's only about 140 million people, and it's definitely not enough. You need like a billion people, really, to fill this large of a country, and it has the resources to support that kind of a population. And one of the things that some Christians say is, well, this is actually God's will, that he left this giant country relatively empty, with the idea that it would then be filled by people from all over the world who would come here and seek protection from the craziness that's happening, that seems to be taking over the West.
Tucker Carlson recently asked Russian philosopher Alexander Dugin why he thinks the West is on the road to ruin.
I think that everything started with individualism. When you identify individualism with the man, with the human nature, you cut all the relations to everything else. So individual, it was the key and is still key concept that was put in the center of liberal ideology. And after the fall of the Soviet Union, there was only liberalism. There were only two collective identities to liberate from, liberation from gender, and that has led to transgenders, to LGBT, and new form of sexual individualism. So sex is something optional. And the last step that is not yet totally made is liberation from human identity, humanity optional. So you can choose your individual identity to be human, not to be human. And that has a name, transhumanism, posthumanism, to have the possibility to choose to be or not to be human. So classical liberalism was in favor of democracy, democracy understood as the power of majority, of consensus, of individual freedom that should be combined somehow with the freedom of other. And now we have totally the next station already, next phase, new liberalism. Now you are invited to liberate yourself from individuality. It is your duty to be progressive. It is prescription. So liberalism fought during its history against any kind of prescription. And now either be progressive liberal or you are done.
How do you explain this phenomenon I have noticed where for over 70 years, a group of people in the West and the United States, liberals, effectively defended the Soviet system and Stalinism, and many personally participated in Stalinism. But in the year 2000, leadership of this country changed, and Russia became their main enemy. Why the change?
I think that they have discovered, they have identified in Putin precisely what Putin is. So he is a kind of leader, political leader, defending traditional values. This hatred is not just casual, something casual or some mood. It is not.
Not casual. It's very serious.
It's metaphysical.
Progressivism is the antithesis of traditional human values. The further one progresses on that path, the less human they become. Reporting for InfoWars, this is Greg Reese.
All right, there you go. And radical far left violence, an imminent threat in Chicago. Activist group calls to shut down the DNC for Gaza and promises to make 2024 as great as in 1968. Well, I think, you know, so far, I know they haven't been burning and looting, but they've been breaking down some barricades. But as far as I know, there's been a couple real radical groups. What do you think? They're putting the pressure on. It didn't take a lot of pressure for Joe, for old Joe. You know, he gave right into the squat right to begin with. I mean, he buckled and bent down. But what do you think? Do you think Kamala knows that if she goes along with this and says, all right, you know, we're going to join the pro-Palestine, the anti-Israel, anti-Christian movement, that will be the death knell, do you think?
Yeah, I think they know that. That's why they're trying to hide her past, or trying to keep her an unknown entity. Remember, we talked about this the other night. A couple of weeks from now, they're going to start voting all these early votes. They're trying to get as many people voting so before they find out the truth about Kamala. And, you know, you go back, look at, she's been in office now, almost 4 years. She and Biden put up $42 billion to what? Connect high-speed internet to the Midwest. Well, I saw a couple of reports that they have not put one poor person on the internet. What happened to the $42 billion in 3.5 years she had to accomplish something? This was her job to connect, you know, to oversee the putting the high-speed internet. I'll ask the question again. Where is the $42 billion? What happened? A couple reporters were saying they couldn't find one person connected under this program.
What about these charging stations for these electric cars?
Well, they've managed to come up with 8 in 4 years. Now, there are hundreds out there, but the government and their big multi-billion dollar plan, they've only come up with 8.
Yeah, but what was the price of each one of those 8?
Oh, Lord, I can't remember. It was horribly, horribly expensive. Do you remember?
It was something like $5 million.
Something like that was outrageous, because some of the ones that were put up privately were way under $1 million, let alone $5 million. Yeah.
All righty. Paul in Texas pledges 25. 888.
Paul, then I remember what?
888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. That's the credit card line. Or 888-677-9673. It's very vital. We are up against
quiet.
It. Yep. We got to have a really good week, don't we?
We do. We need your help if you want us to stay on the air on the station you're listening on. It's that simple. We have to put our faith and trust in the Lord will provide if it be His will. And we just ask that you prayerfully consider partnering with us and making a donation to keep us on the air.
Alrighty. Elon Musk shares devastating video the unraveling of Kamala Harris on his X page. Kamala was so bad, she folded before her first primary contest. Well, you know, here, can you, I mean, she, this is just the way Democrats do things. Here, they probably had planned on throwing old Joe under the bus all along. They didn't want to put Kamala out there too early because it would give too much of an opportunity for people to ask her questions, right?
Right, find out what she's really like.
And this is why they're trying to keep her under wraps now.
Exactly. Well, like I was saying, look at what she did. There were two big things that she did. There was the American Recovery Act. This is the bill that caused that huge 9% inflation increase, you know, running things up to 20%, really. And she cast the vote to put that through.
Also, and she's bragging about it, and then now saying she's going to do exactly the opposite.
Passed the Inflation Reduction Act. The Green New Deal Act was what it really was, right?
Yep.
So those are her big achievements in life. Both of them hurt the American people, cost us a fortune, increased all the inflation, and is causing most of the misery that 68% of the Americans are suffering right now. We've got people having to use credit cards to buy food because they don't have cash, so they're having to buy groceries on a credit card. You can thank Kamala Harris through those two things she did. Passing the American Recovery Act, it was her vote that won it, and the Inflation Reduction Act, it was her vote that got that passed. Guilty, guilty, guilty.
Here's some of the commentary from some, believe it or not, even from liberals, okay? CNN's Nia Malika Henderson, how Kamala Harris's campaign unraveled. They obtained the resignation letter of her, the Harris campaign state operator director, who is now joining the Bloomberg campaign. She wrote that it is unacceptable that with less than 90 days into Iowa, we still do not have a real plan to win. Our campaign for the people is made up of diverse talent, which is being squandered by indecision and a lack of leaders who lead. Molly, that is rough stuff. You wrote a fantastic cover story on Kamala Harris about a month ago or so. I'm sure based on what your reporting has been, a lot of this isn't really a surprise to you. This is Times Magazine's Molly Bale. No, what surprises that she has failed to turn it around. Despite literally months and months and months of hearing and this kind of frustration, and you hear it's reporters, it's people inside the campaign, it's people outside the campaign. It's pretty much the same. Every voter that you meet on the campaign trail goes to see her. And the common theme is people want to like her, and then she doesn't close the deal. She's not able to articulate a consistent and compelling message that makes those voters who shall show up for her, who are interested in what she's selling, that make them decide, yes, this is the candidate I can commit to. And the Times story and Post story today have really laid out this frustration, especially within her team, that hasn't been able to make those decisions. I believe it was, what, like 93% of her staff quit her.
Right. I mean, she's gone through three sets of staff. Now, consider this also. She lied to us about Joe Biden, about his cognitive ability, about how well he was doing. So she'll lie about the leader of the free world, how, you know, he was incapable of handling the job. What else would she lie about? Oh, jobs. Remember, we told you a week ago or so, you know, that they were overstating their jobs. We talked about that, how every 30 to 60 days, they would revise the jobs. Well, now there's three big news stories out there, Bloomberg, MSN, different places. Bloomberg News, job growth through March was likely far less. In fact, it comes down to many economists and some of the big banks say it could be as high as 1 million jobs. And then the other key part of that story is you see a lot of the jobs that they claim that they created were just came back after, you know, jobs that were shut down because of COVID. And then the jobs that were created, over 60% of all the jobs were government jobs or government-related, like healthcare that was controlled by government. So almost all of the jobs that were created, not just replaced, you know, rebuilt jobs, went to the government or to a healthcare. So as far as the free market, there were almost no jobs created. It was just maybe, you know, in that 100,000, 200,000 range over all that time. And yet they've told us, what, 10, 12 million jobs created? And
yeah,
the truth is maybe a couple hundred thousand, because government jobs are not private sector jobs. Government jobs don't grow the economy. The government doesn't pay taxes like a small business or, you know, like your local grocery store, you know, your gas stations, your anything that you do trade, they pay taxes. Government jobs, you know, just like the people pay a tax, but there's no business. There's nothing growing the economy. So she's lied about that. So she lies about two of the biggest things that I can think of. Your economy, why you're broke, why you don't have any money. She lied about government spending. And she's, you know, hasn't told the truth. Why do we want her for president? I cannot comprehend why we would want liar in chief. We've already seen it through Bill Clinton. We've seen it in Joe Biden. Why would we want another liar in charge of the government?
Well, you know, again, but you know, the amazing thing, too, is the media mob. Why these people, they don't seem to realize they have to live in this country, too. And if they turn this, and that's what they want to do, they want to turn us into another Venezuela, they have to live here, too. But it seems like their loyalty to the cause of evil. And, I mean, it is. I mean, you know, child killing, America's national sin, the sacrifice of its children. They claim that is a constitutional right. That is evil. Planned Predator right now has been giving out free baby kills, killing babies free at the Democratic Communist Party convention.
They must be terribly proud, right?
Yeah, you talk about evil. I mean, they're completely evil. I don't think you'll find anything, even the smallest reprieve within that whole convention. See, it didn't used to be that way. I mean, years ago on moral issues, there wasn't, I mean, I'm talking about years ago, with the exception, say, of slavery, there wasn't really that big a difference between morally the Democrat and the Republican Party. Today there is.
The Blue Dog Democrats had a lot in common.
Yeah.
But they were never the radical part of the party. They were the mainstay, the average American family next door that went to church. And they were just tried to be the party of the people. But they were infiltrated long ago because the communists and the power-hungry people saw that's where we can gain power, you know. But here's another one on Kamala. She's been out bragging about how the legal entries at the border are way down. Well, yeah, she and Biden have been flying them in by airplane, and they're not counting those because we don't know how many flights. We don't know where the flights are going. We don't know how many of them there are. But, gee, the entries are down at the border. Yeah, you're flying them in. Another lie. You know, they just keep on coming. You can't even count them.
And they keep changing the number down with the amount of illegals that have been in here since Biden's been in office, you know, from 30 million. Now they keep doing it down to 10 million, down to 9 million.
Yeah, keep down, down, down. And the other big story is, and this is the lie by omission, the federal government has lost all kinds of children. They can't account for these the minors that come in, the unaccompanied minors. Well, now there's a story where they were passing some off to Health and Human Services. There were nearly 300,000 children sent from ICE to Health and Human Services, and nobody seems to have a record of where these children are, what happened to them. Health and Human Services doesn't have a record, and ICE had turned them over. They know how many they turned over, but the government doesn't seem to have any records.
Yeah, well, unfortunately,
how do you lose 300,000 children?
Again, the United States government is the biggest purveyor of human trafficking in the world. Right here, this government, under the Biden-Kamala Harris regime, it is the biggest purveyor of human trafficking, of child sex trafficking in the world. Okay, Paul in Texas pledges 25-888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110. We have about a half hour left tonight in tonight's program, folks. We still got a ways to go, so we do need to hear from you. Or 888-677-9673. 888-677-9673. We got off to a good start tonight. Let's try to finish strong. This is a very, very critical time for us. This is, it's been a over a 50-year run now. And without compromise, we haven't compromised one time, never, over all of these years. We haven't backed down. We tell it the way it is. We haven't backed down from these corrupt governments. We've seen friends of ours, Bannon and so many others, end up going to jail. We've had our threats. We've had many, many threats, but we haven't backed down. We'd rather die on our feet than live on our knees, and we'd rather go to prison than to compromise. And we will before we do compromise. So we're in this thing to win, but we need your help to continue to do it. I mean, it would be really something if we had to go off the air because of finances. All right, Carlos in New York pledges $1,500. Thank you, $15. Thank you, Carlos. I was dreaming there for a minute.
Yeah,
thank you, Carlos. All righty.
We need, a lot more donations like that, the $15, $20 donations. Like I said, people can just mail a check to WRWL Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road. They're in Newberry, NEWBURY, Ohio, 44065. Or you can go to the website, wrwl.org, and make a donation, credit card or PayPal. I think sometimes some people are uncomfortable about calling in, and that's why I just remind them, well, you can just go and make a donation, and that still will help us greatly. One thing I want to go back on, we are down now, this fertility rate in our country. It has to be a fertility rate just to maintain the population level has to be 2.1. And we haven't been there since way back for almost 2006, something like that. And the rate in 2023 fell to 1.62 births per woman, which is the lowest since the government began tracking this back in the 1930s. Our birth rate in this country is lower than it was in 1930. And what we're doing is as the population ages, if our children aren't having children, then we will have to be a nation to let immigrants in because, our population will be decreasing. And the one thing they say very shortly, the white race will be a minority in America in just a few short years. And they're saying demographically, the young people are just not having children, and many women are waiting till they're too old to have children to try, and that's not working out well. Some of them by that time just can't or decided that's not worth it after, you know, waiting that long. So what we're doing as a nation, we're committing suicide. God tells us children are a gift. They're a blessing. And as we get farther and farther away from God that we mentioned earlier, you know, people are leaving the church, getting away from God, we see the destructive tendencies of disobedience. We're destroying our nation by being disobedient to God. It's pretty simple, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. And of course, we've been preaching that for many, many years.
But you notice if you look around at the other sermons and things in churches, it's not being preached. It's not being told to the people. The pulpits are silent on this issue. They are not reminding people of what a wonderful gift children are, what a blessing they are. In fact, we have a lot of these, I use the word so-called churches because they're not, but they're promoting abortion and liberalism, and they are apostate to the hilt. They're telling the people what they want to hear, and like our Bible study, James, who told the people what they needed to hear, right?
Yeah, he told them the way it was, and he made a couple points, too. James being, well, we're going to cover those points, and one of them was in James 1:22, be you a doer of the word, not a hearer only, deceiving your own self. And making a point that those folks out there think, well, you know, I don't have to do all this stuff. All I have to do is get saved. In fact, if I get baptized, that means I'm saved, and I don't have to go to church. I don't have to do, you know, all of this stuff, feed the hungry, house the homeless. You know, I don't have to do all that stuff, right?
I don't even have to love my neighbor.
Right. But then he tells you in James 4:17, James says, but for those that know to do good and do it not, to them it is sin, right? And it's called sins of omission, huh?
Definitely.
And the wages of sin is what?
Death.
You got it.
That's a lot of pastors don't want to preach that nowadays. I just remember a couple of things from the past. John Adams, remember the firebrand, the revolution? Our Constitution was made for a moral and religious people. He meant Christian people because they were a Christian nation. It is wholly inadequate to the government of any other. George Washington, let us with caution indulge the supposition that morality can be maintained without religion. And every time the founders used that word, they meant Christian religion. The other religions in the world were imposters to them. Reason and experience both forbid us to expect that the national morality can prevail in exclusion of religious principles. James Madison, to affirm the Constitution, presupposed that sufficient virtue would be among men for self-government. Without that religious virtue, he warned, nothing less than a change of despotism can restrain them from destroying and devouring one another. Isn't that what we're seeing right now? Our nation destroying itself, devouring the party, the parties fighting, the nation divided, the hate, the bitterness, the fear, the anger. These are change of despotism that are being brought on this country because what? We have fallen away from God. Pretty simple.
It is,
then,
but you know,
one of
again,
our great historians, the last thing I'd like to bring up, said the moral collapse of a people, this is historical precedence, always precedes the political and economic collapse. So you collapse morally first, after you collapse morally comes the political collapse, and then comes the economic collapse of a nation. This is all through history of mankind.
We know that, and we keep warning people, but we're at that time where everything that is happening right now is exactly the way we knew it would happen, the way God's Word, the Bible, said it would. And we're seeing in Matthew chapter 24 the days prior to the start of the tribulation period, and we're living those days. We're living those days right now today. Alrighty, we'll be back right after this one more. Don't go away. Words, my everlasting words. My words have brought you here to me. And I won't ever let you down, but you should have a fear of me. Deacon John pledges 100, and Bill in Boston pledges 100, and James in Illinois pledges 25. Thank you, thank you, thank you. All right, those lines are still open. We have about, about 20 minutes left in the program tonight yet. So, well, actually, we will be here till midnight, and we can take calls all the way up to midnight. And so, all right, it looks like Mike in Minnesota pledges 500. Thank you, Mike. And Tricia pledges 25. Thank you, Tricia. All righty, can we get some matches? Can we get some matches for Mike's 500? That'd be good to get some matches. What about the very Margaret's 1,000? Can we get a pledge for Margaret's 1,000? Yes, we have about 20 minutes left tonight in the program. Breaking: Georgia Election Board approves new rule requiring precincts to compare ballots with voter IDs. Counties must withhold certification until fraud is addressed. Well, you know, you've got two groups there, Joe. One trying to do just the opposite. They want more fraud.
Right. And they want more loose regulations.
Yeah, that's the Democrats. They, you know, it's like we're right out there cheating is what we do. We do. We're good at it. We're gonna and we want to continue. Okay, the Georgia Election Board has voted 3-2. Go ahead.
The because remember, the communist motto, the end justifies the means. It doesn't matter what you have to do as long as you win, as long as you maintain power. You got to remember everything Democrats do, the end justifies the means. So they will lie, steal, cheat, doesn't matter, as long as they win.
Well, they are lying, they are stealing, and they are cheating, you know that. And they've got, and that's exactly what they're planning on doing, that's exactly how they plan on winning this coming election. And, well, the Georgia Election Board has again voted 3-2 in favor of a new rule mandating that election workers compare the total number of ballots cast with the total number of unique voter ID numbers here in this system.
What a thought. Compare to make sure there's no excessive ballots, right? What a simple idea.
Yeah. You know, here in Ohio, there is an algorithm that is being used, and my friend Jerome Corsi called me Saturday. I was talking to him. He was telling me all about it. Well, I believe he's going to be here with me. He's been on the radio here in Ohio talking about how they're – do you want to comment on that some style?
Oh, yeah. I mean, he's everything short of a whistleblower, essentially. I mean, he's busted this wide open on all this voter fraud that's going on to a science with figures.
Well, they have broke the code of the algorithm, which is a very difficult thing to do. So they're telling you that this algorithm that they've come up with is it's not, you have to really be a high-tech individual to know how they do what they're doing. And so they bring in the big guns here in Ohio, but it seems like they've broken the code. Now, if they could only trace to where it came from, this is what they try to this is what these algorithms are about, is so that you can't trace it. Okay. The way that works, Joe, is kind of like, okay, I'll just give you a little bit of an example. The way they move this, where they count votes. Okay, now, in your household, you have your firstborn son, right? Are you there, Joe?
Yes, firstborn son.
Okay, so he's number one. Now, your secondborn will be 12, and your thirdborn will be 22. You see, what they do is, instead of having first, second, third, they put they move it 10. They put 10 votes in between. And in other words, these are were made to look much like legitimate votes.
Mm-hmm.
So for every
pretty
one,
sneaky.
Yeah. It's a little more complicated than that. But we had the charts and everything, when Jerome gets on the program, he can explain it in much more detail. But everywhere you turn, they're out there with voter fraud. And the Republicans have really got to try to smarten up. Now, one thing that they've changed over to is that they're promoting now, Trump is promoting early voting. You know, isn't it a shame that, you know, that you have to go through all this just because people can't be honest, because they cannot be honest. And so now, instead of having voting day, they have voting month. And I believe at the very time, and this is why they keep postponing Kamala's debate with Trump, because I believe that actually, I think it's South Carolina, that their primary, that they're going to have early voting. I believe in South Carolina, early voting before they have the speech in September. So
yeah, the early voting thing starts the 6th or 8th of September, if I recall, in many states.
Yeah,
and after that, certain other dates through September. So by the time November comes around, September and October, almost, you know, 90% of the Democrats have voted.
Right. But the point of it is people are going to vote before they hear Trump and Kamala debate. And they were supposed to have, I believe, two debates. And then the vice presidents, were they supposed to debate two? I think they were going to have one debate or two.
I believe one.
One debate, yeah. That'll really be interesting.
I'm going to make an early prediction right now, all right?
Go for it. Go for it.
Largest turnout ever for early voting is what's going to be reported.
Yep.
Yeah.
I pretty much agree. I see that one coming a mile away.
Yeah, it's just an amazing thing how they've taken, you know, the news media really had very little to do with Kamala. You know, they kind of wanted to stay away from her, kind of keep her out of the news. Didn't want people to know too much about her because, well, the woman's corrupt. I mean, really corrupt. But now all of a sudden they've made her, a queen. And they don't see they've got no honor at all. I mean, you know, there's just no integrity, no honor there. They're shameless. They're shameless in this stuff. And, well, what do you do, huh? We have 888-281-1110. That's 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. Joe, what we have, too, for you folks out there, we mentioned it last night, you have to ask for it. You have to ask for it, but I have 50 years of things that have happened, of experience, of events. You've heard some of it on the radio program, but I go on DVDs. I go on this DVD. I go into more detail behind stories that happened 30, 40 years ago, things that happened back then. I mean, some amazing things to show you just how amazing how God is, how this ministry has become what it is. Folks, it wasn't us. It was supernatural. What God has done with us is we could never do on our own. And we have all of that in these DVDs, and it'll be a couple weeks before we get them out and get them to you. But you got to ask for them. The DVD and the little red book, you get both of them for a donation. We're asking a donation of $50 for the two or $25 each. Or now, if you're out there and you're destitute and you can't afford that, either one, let us know and we can help you out. We have given away a lot of things for folks that are destitute out there. We really can't afford to do it, but we do it anyhow, Joe, because that's the right thing to do. What do you think?
Well, Scripture tells us we're to give with the belief that God will make sure that we can continue giving.
Well, He's done that all of these years, but I'll tell you, it's like there's never been an ounce too much, you know? We've never had more than we needed to get by for the next month if we've done that. And a lot of times we didn't, but by God's grace, we're here. By God's grace, some champion showed up here for us.
Yeah.
In fact, we just had one here. It looks like Larry in Minnesota just pledged you $600. Thank you, Larry.
Well, I found the Bible verse, Luke 6:38. Give, and it shall be given unto you, good measure, pressed down and shaken, together and running over, shall men give unto your bosom. For with the same measure that ye meet withal, it shall be measured to you again. We have God's word on it, and we've been living with His word, His promise, and for a very long time. But it's always like everything in Scripture, if it be His will, right?
Absolutely. Here you go again. Pro-China, World Health Organization declares monkeypox, here we go again, folks.
Another, yeah.
Outbreak, a global health emergency. just months before the presidential election.
It's just an STD. It's not. They've blown this thing out of proportion so bad. We talked about it a couple of weeks ago, I believe.
Well, he goes on to say, CNN, you know, that's something, reported the World Health Organization convened its emergency monkeypox committee and concerns. I think they convened a bunch of monkeys, right? Mm. The deadlier strain of the virus has spread into four additional regions in Africa. More than 17,000 cases and more than 500 deaths have been reported in 13 countries in Africa since the beginning of 2024, according to the outlet. The right. Monkeypox outbreak has previously been contained to the Democratic Republic of Congo.
Mm-hmm.
And you say that this is simply an STD, huh?
It's how it spread through sexual spread through different sexual contact, body fluids, things. So it's kind of in that range, I believe. And it should be treatable in this country, from what I remember reading about it. But if you're in a country with no health care, a very poor system, people don't get to doctors, yeah, you can. There are a lot of things that can be fatal in another country that here you go to the doctor and get a shot and it's taken care of.
All right, here you go. It says, however, unlike COVID, monkeypox cannot be spread via the air and is nowhere near as contagious. Monkeypox spread through close contact via kissing, touching, sexual intercourse with someone who is infected.
Gee, sounds like an STD, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, amazing.
The virus is primarily spread via sex and predominantly affecting sodomite and bisexual men.
Now you know why it's a world emergency, because it affects the sodomites.
Well, yeah, we can't have that, can we?
Can't have that. Oh, no.
All right. We have James in Illinois pledges 25. Mike in Minnesota, 500. Teresa, 25. Oh, wait, I already read those, apparently. I must have missed Mike. And Carl in Ohio just pledged 200. Thank you, thank you, thank you. There you go.
When we're multitasking, we do make mistakes occasionally, right?
Yeah.
I've been known to make one or two in my life.
All right.
That's kind of a joke, folks. Okay, in case you didn't know, but one story we didn't get in, but this is so like the Democrats. There was a little diner in Pittsburgh, and people were there eating and watching a game on some kind of Pirates, I think, on TV.
Hold on 1 minute. How much time do I have for there?
Oops.
Five? Okay. You know what? You got 5 minutes, Joe. Can you do it?
Yeah, I was... got to switch gears here in my head because I was thinking of something totally different. The most important thing in life after you're born, it's not who you marry. It's not where you live. It's where you will spend eternity because, well, the way this God set up this world, his creation will either be with him in heaven or they will go to hell, because the free will he gave mankind, we take that free will, and with free will we choose to sin. And as we said earlier tonight a couple times, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death. But God requires a punishment for sin. We know that John 3:36, he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God will abide on him. And Romans 2, chapter 2, verses, several verses. But we are sure that the judgment of God is according to truth against them which commit such things. And thinkest thou this, O man, that judgest them which do such things, and doest the same, that thou shalt escape the judgment of God? No, you see, God's going to judge. He will render to every man according to his deeds, and we know that we sin by what? Our words, our deeds. undone and things we've left undone we were supposed to. So we are guilty, and we need a Savior. God knew this before he created us, and he sent us a Savior. Savior, his own Son. Yep, the Son of God, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sins of the world. He sent his only begotten Son to the end that all of us that believe in him should not have to perish, but have what? Everlasting life. But we're only going to get to heaven one way, and it's not through a religion, a church, a philosophy, you know, good works, hoping, clean living. We have to do it God's way. And what's his way? We have to become a born-again believer. John 3:3, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So we know we're a sinner. We know that God requires punishment for sin, and his punishment is death. But he gives us repentance. So his gift, eternal life, to get it, you call upon the Father, and from the heart you repent that your sins placed his Son, the Lamb of God, on that cross. Jesus took your sins on him to that cross, died in your place, substitutionary death, paid your price. So if you go to God, the Father, with a repentant heart, you will be forgiven. When you're forgiven, you can ask Jesus Christ, the Messiah, the Savior, to be Lord of your life. But you have to give yourself to him willingly, completely, without reservation. He has to be first in your life, number one. Then he will give you your baptism, your spiritual baptism. You will be given the indwelling of the Holy Spirit of God, and you then become a child of the kingdom, a son or daughter of the living God, adopted.
1 minute, Joe. 1 minute.
And that's your down payment on eternal life. You will find your life changed. Your heart has been changed. He will give you, in a sense, a new heart. You will find joy, love, happiness, peace that you've never known. And you will be on your way to grow in knowledge and love of God. But it's something that only you can do. Nobody can save you. You must do it God's way. You must call upon him and his Son. And Romans 10:9-13, if thou confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, shall believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then thou can be saved. It's very simple, but it has to be a heart thing. It has to be done by faith and repentance. So do it today. You may not have a tomorrow. And it's the biggest decision you will ever, ever make.
You're right. It's the most important thing you'll ever do. You'll never can, never could, ever would, or do anything that's going to mean as much to you throughout eternity. So
that's a pretty long time from what I've heard.
Yep. So we want to say good night to you folks. Thank you for your support out there. And remember, always do it.
Keep fighting the fight.
Thanks for listening to the Voice of the Christian Resistance. What's Right, What's Left, hosted by Pastor Ernie Sanders. To learn more about our ministry, please visit us online at www.wrwl.org. Please tune in next time for another edition of What's Right, What's Left.
The preceding program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.